Hello and happy Halloween, everyone! It's another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast, and this is a podcast all about the MTG Pioneer format, where we like to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Halloween.
Pioneer.
Or Pioneer, usually Pioneer.
Halloween Pioneer. Halloween Pioneer, yeah. Yeah, and I'm Ryan, by the way. I am your cardboard samurai out of Japan near Tokyo. And our guest.
And. Yes, we are rejoined by a recurring wonderful guest.
Jonathan Medina.
All right, so we, on this podcast, we keep ourselves pretty straight and narrow. We just talk about MTG and its cards and pretty much focus just on Pioneer. And are we going to break that a little bit today? Because we kind of want to get spooky and Halloween talk. You know, we don't get to go out and go have a lot of Halloween fun because the whole world's kind of on lockdown. But we can have some fun on our podcast and talk about spooky things and spooky decks.
Yeah, this is feels kind of like a Gavin Verhey challenge that he used to put on the mothership.
So the episode that we went with for today is that we wanted to talk about spooky decks. We kind of wanted a little bit of a brew challenge. Is we all went out and we tried to brew something fun, slightly playable, but also with some kind of spooky theme around it. So we were looking at spooky tribes, we were looking at spooky cards,
spooky themes,
anything that you could just be generally afraid of. Yeah, scary movies.
So
we're in a wild west here, going totally different. I'm gonna start off real quick. Favorite horror movie?
Oh man.
I'm going to go completely off the charts.
I would say Silent Hill, actually.
Ooh, okay.
That's really
creepy. The original one that's just called Silent Hill, right? Because there's like half a dozen really bad.
Yeah, the first one I thought it was really creepy, really scary.
I'm going to have to go with the original Halloween.
See, those old...
Okay.
Slasher movies don't really do it for me.
It's like... Oh, see, for me, it's the sound, you know, when it's like, you know, that's like, dude, you know, it's like gives me chills.
I like the really chalky ones. I think my favorite, like, bad horror movie, but in a good way, is the remake House of Wax.
Oh, with Paris Hilton.
Yes. You know, a lot of reasons to rag on Paris Hilton, but she makes a great scream queen. Like, you can't go wrong there. Like, did that role perfectly.
I mean, I would also say I like pretty much anything by Stephen King as well. Like, the original Mist I thought was actually really good as well.
Okay, I know there's some bad ones out there, but you kind of you forget how many Stephen King films have been adapted. He also hates most of his adaptations, from what I understand.
He was like the king for a while, where it was like It and like Pet Cemetery and like, yeah, all those movies were like, you know.
Well, both of those just got remade.
Yeah, the remakes were pretty good,
Shining,
too, I thought. Yeah,
yeah, there's...
Before start, though, I wanted to say happy birthday to Pioneer.
Ooh, yeah, good one. That was last week. 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah. 21st of October, I believe.
When you think about how much the format has changed from set to set in Pioneer, it's insane that it's only been out 1 year. Like, you do not see Modern changing like this. You don't see Standard even really changing this way, where we've had so many different iterations of Pioneer in just a year.
That's because Wizards broke it. Like... It's like, as soon as Pioneer came out, it's like, let's break Magic with all these sets, you know, like War of the Spark and Throne of Eldraine, just banning billions of cards. It's insane, man.
I mean, I do appreciate that they gave us a chance to break it before just saying, no, this is going to be broken, and we're not going to let you play with it at all, like they did with Modern. You know what I
mean? Right, no, like, but I'm saying, like, I'm just saying, cards. Like, beyond the, like, because Pioneer, like, when they first released it, it wasn't really that broken. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was saying, oh, yeah, you know, remember, like, Smuggler's Copter, remember? It was like, oh, I got to ban Smuggler's Copter. That format was great, you know? And then...
And then Sam Black came along.
the freaking... Then all of a sudden, it's like, what is it? Thassa's Oracle, right? Out of Theros, like, just freaking... You know, blue black. You know, freaking Dimir Inverter,
Lotus Breach, Heliod,
Inverter combo.
Just like just trash it. Oko was also a menace, right, in the format. Oh. Like, in the beginning, it was a menace. I mean, but he was a menace in, like, fair everything. Decks. You know? Yeah, I don't know. I loved, like, initial Pioneer when it first came out. Oh, man, I loved that format. I thought it was insane. And then as it went along and these more and more broken sets got released, it just got, like, worse, in my opinion. But I think it might be better now. I mean, now that everything's banned, but, yeah.
Wait, what is Yorian's text real quick here? I'm like, can you trade something with Oko and then Yorian Blanket?
I don't know. You need to turn it back into a non...
Oh, okay.
Okay, you have to own and control them. Okay. Yeah, that was what it was. Never mind.
That's another thing, the companions, remember? Like,
oh, God, yeah. Hey, I loved the companion format in Pioneer when companions were good. There was, like, all 10 of them were being played practically. It was a blast.
Well, man.
Some reminiscing right here.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we want to jump into the topic for today?
Sure.
You know, for us, this is a lot of off track. You know, it's only 5 minutes, but I'll steer us towards talking about some deck lists. So we each ended up with about 2 deck lists here, and these are available in our First Pioneers Discord channel. That's a great place to follow along with the shows and see what exactly we're talking about. We might tweet them out. I think, Jonathan, you were thinking about putting them on your page or your Patreon, something like that too.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna put it in the I might like mock up like a, just an article and put it on the mtgbazaar.com. that's my content hub.
Yeah, feel
so
free.
Might throw that up there so people can check them out, and then we can challenge people to build their own or something.
And you could add modern and standard and EDH to it as well.
Oh man, if we do that, then you know there's gonna be so many spooky EDH builds, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you got some options there. Because you don't have to play good cards in EDH, and you can just play whatever you want.
I don't have months to review all these spooky EDH decks, man. Are you kidding me? You're going to release the whole EDH community on building spooky decks? Oh my gosh. Like, there'll be
you
got to
rate each one of them on 5 different
categories. There'll be like submissions forever.
So, how'd you guys feel about this? Did you go like real spooky? Did you go real competitive? Anywhere in between? I feel like, you know, I'm looking at your guys' list a little bit here, and I feel like I went a little safe with, at least with my first one here. Maybe I'll jump off with my first deck.
Sure.
It's kind of zombies. Everyone loves a good zombie movie, good zombie deck. And one that I kind of wanted to go with, you know, I was thinking still somewhat competitive themes. Back in like Frontier, even had played some black white zombie Rally of the Ancestors. Mm. So I wanted to kind of do the same sort of thing. I saw some other ideas I was building off of. So, you know, bunch of cheap zombies, a few zombie synergy cards, and then with black and white, you get Wayward Servant and you get Corpse Knight. Each one of these, when a zombie enters the battlefield, you're going to drain for one. I think the Corpse Knight is just they lose one, but if you've got a decent number of zombies in your graveyard and Stitcher Supplier helps with that, you bring them all back and then you just drain your opponent for a nice lethal kill.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, this deck actually looks pretty good. I love the Lazotep's Reaver. That's just such a good card in general. And like, I've seen that in like mono black builds in Pioneer and also mono black zombies when that was a deck briefly. But yeah, Lazotep's awesome with this Wayward Servant. You basically drain him for two. Pretty cool stuff here. Oh, and Diagraph Colossus. Man, if you don't deal with that thing.
I missed that card.
Oh, such a beast.
Yeah, so I didn't go on like the zombie lords,
yeah,
which there are a bunch of, but this is more, you know, the enter the battlefield, put stuff in the graveyard with Crypt Breaker and with and the biggest thing I've noticed is that this deck does have a lot of grind to it. You know, you've got things that come back from the graveyard on your own. You've got Crypt Breaker who can make a lot of value. And then you end up with things like Liliana and you end up just kind of grinding out some value there.
Yeah, so basically I was going to ask, your Rally Enablers are your Stitcher Supplier and Liliana only, right?
Yeah, I don't have a lot that feeds directly into the graveyard. I mean, you can do some with Crypt Breaker to just put zombies in your hand into the graveyard. That helps a bit.
I'm a little surprised you didn't have more zombies that like come from the graveyard when they die. You know, like the 2/1 Jackal zombie from Amonkhet. So, like, why didn't you go that route?
I think I had him originally. You kind of just, I had to cut down some choices. I wanted some removal in here.
Yeah. Or is that Ghoul a zombie? What's his name? The one that's in Dredge right now? Something Ghoul. And it's like if you gain 3 life, you bring it back from the graveyard.
Oh yeah, it's that's like a zombie skeleton or something, like, or zombie knight or something.
Yeah, because like since you have this thing that's draining, maybe you're gaining some life or something. You know, I don't
maybe
know,
get rid cool. of the Foulmouth knight and instead put that guy in there because you can still draw a card from it.
I think it's like Silver Smoke Ghoul.
Yeah,
or
Silver Smoke
like
Ghoul. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Might make you a little slower, but I bet you could do that. That might work.
I mean, if you're rallying, I mean, you're not gonna. Your deck is not super fast.
Really. Liliana unfortunately only drains for 2, but that might still work. Okay, I'll try that. That's an interesting idea for it.
So, Dark Salvation. Why did you decide to go with 4 of those for your removal?
I mean, it's just a fun card, and it can be really powerful for cheap. So that one, if you guys didn't know, it's the black XX. Target player puts X zombies into play, 2/2 zombies, and then a creature your opponent controls gets -1/-1 for each zombie you control, essentially.
So basically you play it for 1, and it still kills something, right?
Yeah, or you can play it for 5, make 2 zombies, kill something. So it scales well, which a lot of this deck does. Yeah. Is that, you know, if you're going long, you're just going to, you know, be trading off with, like, 1/1 death touchers and getting value here and there, and then you just kill them, so...
I love the one cling to dust. That shows your competitive nature, you know? You're like, still not going to lose to Uro.
Yeah, I got to have something main deck for Uro, because that seems like a real tough beat.
I think I would have also played, maybe I would have done, like, 2 of the Liliana Untouched by Death and 1 of the Amonkhet ones, because that also puts stuff into the graveyard, but it also acts as a board wrath for non-zombie creatures.
That's true. That one's the 4 or 5 mana.
So maybe it's a little bit too much, but... I figured...
5 mana is a lot. 5 mana is a lot. But hey, we're playing spooky decks, so I guess you could.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I didn't go Liliana's Mastery. That's a whole different world.
Yeah, true.
God, how many zombie lords are there? I feel like there's like 4 or 5 that are just like +1/+1 zombie lords. Like, there's a lot.
Yeah. All right, so who goes next? Should I go? I mean, unless
you're
talking, talk
yeah, you got to jump into it. Go ahead. Yeah, get something more interesting here, because I was boring.
All right, so my first deck is called Knight on Bald Mountain. So I want to talk about my inspiration about this first. So Knight on Bald Mountain is a song, I believe, by Modest Mogolowski, I want to say.
Modest Mazursky.
Something like that. Maybe Jonathan can help me out with that name, but...
I can't, but yeah.
So when I was a little kid, I saw the original Fantasia movie. It was like the 50th anniversary. So Fantasia is a Disney movie, which is done. It's like, how could I say? It's an animated feature done entirely to classical music. And this was always one of the coolest parts of the movie. So Knight on Bald Mountain shows a giant demon, kind of like a Lord of the Pit type thing, on top of a mountain. And he wakes up at night. And then suddenly he starts to summon all these creatures of the night to do his bidding and to like, you know, freak out this town that's underneath this mountain. So what I did, I started off by choosing a demon creature to kind of be this demon on top of the mountain. And I went with Rakdos, Lord of the Riots, which is the 6/6 flying trample, black, black, red, red. And you can't cast him unless... an opponent lost life this turn, and then also creature spells that you cost cast 1 less as well for each 1 life your opponent lost this turn. So he's the big guy, he's on top of the mountain, and he is kind of getting all these creatures of the night to come out. So I had to think of, like, you know, I wanted to get like 1 of each type of these night creatures. So I had to get like imps and devils, and I had to get harpies and witches and skeletons and all that. So that goes with the rest of my picks. So Footlight Fiend is the 1/1 that pings somebody when it dies. It's a devil. Gutter Bones is a skeleton. Comes back to the graveyard. I think we all know him. He's a 2/1. Comes in a battlefield tapped for 1 mana. Edelon of the Great Revel is a spirit, and they're kind of like dancing fire devils, which is also part of the animated feature as well. And you can watch it on YouTube, by the way. But yeah, they're dancing fire devils all over the place. Mayhem Devil is a devil, of course. We all know what he does. You sacrifice a permanent. It deals 1 damage. Ravenous Harpy. So harpies were also kind of things flying around this mountain. And it's a harpy, and you can sacrifice. It's a 1/2 for 3 mana that you can sacrifice a creature and put a 1/1 counter on it. Bone Picker is a vulture. So I thought these would be kind of be cool for sacrificing all these things and dealing all this damage. You can basically play it for one mana. And then I have like a couple other sacrifice effects like Spark Harvest, Ingress Rampage, and Heartfire, and also Witch's Oven. So this is kind of like a Witch's Oven deck. Maybe not as good as the currently tuned one, but you know, I thought they would kind of match the theme. It's like a sacrifice build. Demon is sacrificing all these creatures to it.
There's no cat in this movie because, like, you could have put a Cauldron Familiar in the Witch's
Oven. Yeah.
Come on.
I don't. There's probably cats. I was watching the video and like, okay, there's an imp, there's a devil. I need to have that in there. I need to have that in there.
That's cute.
I tried to do somewhat.
You went deep, man.
What's up?
You went deep, man. You went deep with the lore, you know?
Yeah. This is a very Vorthos deck.
Right, right.
It's kind of saying, I like a Cauldron Familiar Bone Picker. That's kind of cute. Maybe go one higher and go with Mind Rack. Or, no, what is it? What's the Emerge Demon that is also an Eldrazi? It's an
Distant Mindbender or something like that?
Yes, Distended Mindbender. Distended
okay.
Mindbender, yeah.
That'd be cute. That'd be cute.
Yeah, I could do
it. Edelan is interesting. I like this. You know, I mean, obviously there's places where it's like, oh, just take Rakdos out and put in your Kroxa, and you're good.
Yeah.
You're good to go. I mean, I get why you didn't do that. But yeah, this is interesting.
It's not playable.
I kind of want Call of the Death Dweller. You know, you've got Footlight Fiend and Mayhem Devil. I'd love to give them Death Touch.
Okay. Oh, yeah, bring them back. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I could do that. So maybe I'll just go to, like, Angrath Rampage, put that in there instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the Eidolon might be doing you a lot of damage.
Here. Yeah.
All your whole deck is, like, Eidolon shocking. Oh, man, that's funny.
So, next person. Jonathan, your turn, unless you guys want to ask anything.
I'm going to go with my... So, I built this deck called... basically, this is around the card... Sandworm Convergence, okay? Ooh. This is an 8 mana enchantment, all right? You probably would never play this in Pioneer, but...
Oh, you know I've played this card.
But, like, here's the thing. It reminds me of that movie Tremors, because, like, in the artwork, this Tremor creature is, like, coming out of the sand. And I'm like, oh, I gotta build, like, a Tremor-style deck with this, right? So I tried to stay on theme with Armada Worm, which also looks like Tremors. You know, and so we got Armada Worm, we've got Uvenwald Hydra, which could look like a bunch of Tremors together, I don't know, but it's basically a ramp deck. We have for ramp we have Scale the Heights and Wolf Hollow Haven, or Wolf Willow Haven, and then Omen of the Hunt, right? So we're using these enchantments to ramp out. And then obviously Scale of Heights is not an enchantment, but it's the ramp spell. And then I figured, since we were having so many enchantments, right? We got the Sandworm Convergence, the enchantments at ramp, and I also put Anointed and Procession in there because, you know, the Sandworm Convergence makes a 5/5 at your end step. So at the beginning of your end step, create a 5/5 green worm token. Mm-hmm. So this way, you know, you make two of them, you know. And that was one of the things in Tremors, you know, they thought it was one and then there was two, you know, and it was like, you know, that's kind of like how I lined it up with the theme there. And so that's what I built. Let's see. Oh, I put in a Satyr Enchanter as like a card draw engine, since so many of my stuff is enchantments. I also rounded it off with a playset of Thoughtknot Seers. Because, you know, this deck doesn't really interact. And so, you know, hey, why not try to take a card out of someone's hand and luck sack your way into a win with a bunch of 5/5s?
So I got a question.
You know what you're close to? Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, did you choose the card Scale the Heights? Because that's like what they did in the movie. They had to, like, get to high ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No, I didn't. No, but it is true. They did have to get to high ground. I chose Scale the Heights because it gains life. And I didn't want to go blue with the deck because, like, it happened in a desert, right?
Yeah.
So, like, blue is like islands and water. So I wanted to stay away from blue because it feels more like a plains, like, you know, kind of style thing, you know? So, I went with green-white instead. So Scale of Heights is, like, the closest, like, Euro impression you can do, you know?
That being said, you should have put more deserts in your lands.
Oh, fail. Flavor, yeah. Fail. That's so true, right? I should have went with, like, full deserts. Oh, man, I'm so jealous I didn't come up with that.
Oh, that's like the Oasis, Hepnep Oasis or whatever, and then the...
The cycling ones. Yeah, and, you maybe. Know.
Yeah.
Whatever of Promise is pretty good.
Yeah.
So a couple thoughts here is, did you think about making this a Garuda deck? Because I see you've got a lot of even mana costs. You're not all the way, but a lot of the important cards are all even.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I also was going to say, did you do anything? Is this just the first movie? I don't know how, if you've seen any of the like sequels, or there's like a TV series. I think they just rebooted it or something.
Yeah,
like
7 different ones, right?
I've seen the first like 4 movies and the series.
Did they go to space in the 4th one? Usually these old movies always went to space.
I don't know. Look, when I watched them, this was years ago, I watched pretty much all the movies. The one I remember most is the first movie, you know, obviously.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I mostly based the deck off of. I don't really remember what happened in the series or even the second movie that much, you know what I mean?
The second movie, I think, was, like, Zerglings, practically. Like, they, little ones.
Little ones, right? Yeah, little ones, and they were, like, they jumped. Like, you know, they were, like, projectile, like, you know, freaking Tremors.
And then 3 or 4 was when they had Ass Blasters, and that was kind of when they jumped the shark.
I don't remember.
Just like some like, yeah, they would just like rocket shoot farts or something, and that's how they like would attack you. Like it was pretty bad.
Oh,
from
wow.
There, I think it just got worse. So I didn't see. I don't know any more after that. But
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So I like this.
So that's my deck. Yeah, it's.
Hey, sometimes you're gonna play Sandorn Convergence, and your opponent can't win. So yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, that's a thing, man. I wish there was. I wish the deck had stuff it could cast that wasn't a 3-drop and up. I'm starting to realize. Oh, I do. I have the wolf Willowhaven. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah. And if you're being competitive, you probably could have gone with Sylvan Caryatid and things like that.
Yeah, I probably could have just went with the little monkey.
Hey, yeah. Lotus Cobra. That's a nice desert creature.
Yeah, Lotus Cobra. Yeah,
there you go.
Like that. It's also Serpentine, which is kind of like, you know,
yeah.
I'll put some, you know, Fable Passages in to, you know, to go with the Lotus Cobra and.
Yeah. There you go.
Get rid of that Thought Knot Seer. Make those Lotus Cobras.
Yeah, I think something like the Thought Knot Seer looks pretty gnarly. From again, artwork related, it looks more like something would be in a Tremors movie, you know.
Uh-huh.
So like I chose that there, but like I don't know, like I also considered Thraben Inspector because it has a cowboy hat, you know, or it looks like a cowboy hat. It's not a cowboy hat. It's like whatever the
pirate
period.
Hat.
Yeah, whatever the pirate hat, but it looks like a cowboy hat. It's like, yeah, I could see this in this person in a Tremors movie, you know.
Yeah, no, it sucks that it's a 5/5 that doesn't beat Uro very well. But if you've ever played a Sandorn Convergence when the opponent has an Emrakul out, that's just hilarious.
Oh wow,
because they just can't do anything.
Right,
but eventually you've got enough worms.
With my Scale the Heights though, my 5/5s become 6/6s. So.
Ooh, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I could totally trade with the Uro.
So back.
That card's basically Uro now.
Yeah, it's pretty much as good as Uro. That's why I have 4.
Oh yeah. All right. So I'm gonna jump back to mine if you got nothing more.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So this one I think is a little bit more fun. I got to put one of my favorite cards ever in this deck. So you know it's bad. Been wanting to play this card for a while. I didn't have any time to actually play it in something that I think would be competitive, but there's a card, Liliana's Contract, 5-mana enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you draw 4 cards and lose 4 life. That's kind of cool, but it also says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 4 or more demons with different names, you win the game.
So why didn't I think of this?
So, as time has gone on, we've been getting a lot more cheap demons and cheap ways to make demons. So I've put together a little deck. It's Collected Company Demon Tribal.
Nice.
So I've got Collected Company, and then I've got a whole bunch of demons that are all 3-mana or less for the most part. And maybe not everything's demons here, but, you know, so there weren't any 1-mana demons, but there is Archfiend's Vessel, so that's the 1/1 human cleric, and if you bring it back from the graveyard, it makes a 5/5 demon. So that's one way to get demons. At 2, there's Rakshasa Death Dealer, a card that was weirdly good in Standard, sort of. Never, ever has been good since then. Tried it for years and just has always been cut from every deck I've put it in. This is somehow going to make it into this deck just because it's a cat demon. Scourge of the Skyclaves, you know, new demon, not bad. 2 mana, some reasonable ways to hurt ourselves to play it. At 3, you've got some fun ones. You've got like a 3/3 that beginning of your upkeep, you lose a life. It's a 3/3 flyer. You've got a 5/5 flyer. The beginning of your upkeep, the opponent draws a card. You've got a 5/5 with afflict that whenever an opponent plays a spell, it gets -1/-1 counter, but it loses them all if it deals damage to a player. What else we got? We got Tabarax. He's a new flying demon with ways to gain counters. So a bunch of just random demons. Some, you know, good spells like Fatal Push, Murderous Rider, Thoughtseize. Agadeem's Awakening is a nice one from the new set that, you know, brings back my Archfiend Vessels, brings back, you know, Archfiend Vessel Scourge, something else. That's great. Or it's a land. Yeah, and, you know, we go to the late game. In addition to collecting company, I just got Liliana's Contract, and I'm going to draw 4 cards and be better than most cards can, most decks can keep up on card advantage, so.
And just pray they don't have a board wipe to kill all your demons, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how likely it is that I'll win from the demon mode, but you got to put that fear in them. Yeah. If you're playing this Liliana's Contract and you're drawing 4 demon cards, you're probably going to kill them with the demons, but in the back of their mind, they're like, oh man, he's going to get those 4 demons in play, and I'm gonna be dead.
Yeah.
Or 3 demons in the Mutavault, right? Just tap the Mutavault, boom.
Right? I think, you know, I was actually just thinking about that. I don't think we can actually do that because Liliana's Contract
checks the beginning of the game.
It triggers, right?
Well, I believe it's an intervening if where it won't even trigger if I don't have 4 demons, so I'll never have priority to turn Mutavault into a demon before Liliana's Contract checks.
Mm. Oh man, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Now, did you think about, okay, I know this is not, is it a demon? Wait a second, let me see if this is a demon. Lurrus.
Ooh.
Is he a demon?
Is Lurrus a demon? Is he a cat or is he demon?
No, he's a cat nightmare. Rip.
Okay.
Nightmare. There we go. I looked at nightmares, but yeah, no, he's a nightmare.
Yeah, but like, I'm curious if like it might be good in this deck anyway. Like, I know we're not trying to make these super competitive, right? But like, this like,
not as a Lurrus deck, but just to bring back your Scourges and your Archfiend Vessels.
Yeah, yeah, just your Scourges, your Archfiend Vessels, and I believe you could kick the Scourge out of the graveyard.
You can, right? Yeah, yeah. That'd be 7 mana, but it's an option.
Yeah, so, like, I find that to be interesting, you know?
Hmm.
Wasn't there also that 1-mana human that searches for demons? Did you consider that?
Oh, the one that you can play any number of? I'm not doing any big demons, so that doesn't seem worth it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's spicy. Really, I like it.
I like it a lot, yeah.
This is probably the most competitive so far, I think.
No, I don't know about that. I think the zombies.
Is most competitive, oh, yeah, okay. In my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Leave it up to Kevin to not have fun and just go. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, to be fair though, he did go with the demons, right? Yeah. He didn't like put a non-demon creature in this deck. You know?
I put Rakshasa Death. I mean, yeah, I did put a Murderous Rider in there, true but enough. I put Rakshasa Death Dealer in my deck. I'm loving my life right now.
Yeah, Lurrus can bring that back too. So you know, that's a game breaker right there.
Now, both of your decks are built really well, though. I like them both, to be honest. All right. My turn, or do you want to go, Jonathan? What should we do? Who should we save
for last?
Why don't
you go again, just to keep the cadence? Oh, do you want to save yours for last? Let's save yours for last.
Up to you, because ours are both kind of the same. I mean, they're not really the same. Yeah, let's have you go first. I want to save mine for last. You go first.
I'll go next. All right. Let's see. So, my other deck, I built around a spooky card, okay? So, like, this was the first card I said when the idea of building a spooky deck was, and it's called Triskaidekaphobia. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Triskaidekaphobia is an enchantment, another enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose one. Each player with exactly 13 life loses the game. Then each player gains a life, or each player with exactly 13 life loses the game and each player loses a life. So basically it's like a clock, right? It, you put it on the board, and then like if anyone's at 13, they lose. And then you choose to either make each player lose a life or each player gain a life. Mm-hmm. So the way that I built this deck is... I think I pulled it up the wrong way here. Okay. I built it as a Cauldron Familiar deck, essentially, because I want to have more control over the life, right? Like, I want to take them out in, like, one life point at a time, right? Mm-hmm. So... So I got four Cauldron Familiars. I have a couple of Destiny Spinners, which I also considered for my Tremors deck, but I didn't massage the numbers in the Tremors deck to fit them in, but I feel like they probably should go in. Destiny Spinner says that creatures and enchantments can't be countered. So, like, they can't counter your Triska Decaphobia, which is nice. Cool. And then I have Fiend Artisan, and I'll explain why in a minute. Okay, so a couple Murderous Riders, a couple Nighthawk Scavengers, because I feel like I want to be gaining life to keep myself out of the 13. Like, I don't want to be at 13 and die, right? Mm-hmm. So I have that. I have a couple of bullet creatures, like the Vito Thorn of the Duskrose, which, like, with a Nighthawk Scavenger can really take a chunk out of your opponent's life, right? Because you hit them and then gain life, and then it says whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, a way to kind of like... I feel like there's going to be a volley to try to get to 13, you know? And then the spicy tech, and this is... the other bullet creature is Grey Merchant of Asphodel to also tip scales, you know? Like, so I'm using Fiend Artisan to get these bullets, right? Like the Vito, or using Fiend Artisan to get the Grey Merchant. But the real spicy one is Tree of Perdition, right? So, like, Tree of Perdition sets your opponent's life total to 13 because the toughness is 13. So you basically, put out the Triska Decaphobia, and then you Fiend Artisan for the Tree of Perdition and then tap it and kill them. So, not obviously you have to wait for triggers and all this stuff, right? But that's the goal of the deck. I ran some Fatal Pushes, some Thought Seizes, an Abrupt Decay, a Belligan's Recovery, and as my kind of like removal control of the board suite.
So with the Triska Decaphobia, if you have four of them in play, you can kind of decide what happens. So like if they're at 9, you could say, okay, gain a life, gain a life, right. Gain a life, gain a life, and then they lose on the fourth one, right?
Right.
Yes. Okay. And if you have 13 of them in play, you win.
There we go.
Just on the spot, just because.
And you're also going to get a game loss as well for playing 13 of them, right?
Right.
Well, depends on how you got 13 of them in play.
Okay. Copy.
So, like, I don't know how to make them gain a life outside of, like, Triska Decaphobia or, like, Tree of Perdition. Those are two ways that we kind of have to make them gain life, you know, if they go under 13. But you have to kind of be careful not to, like, give them a shock out, right? Like if you take them to 15, it's better to like cat oven them or something down to 13 instead of like taking them to 13, because if you take them to 13 and pass the turn, then they can play a shock land and then be at 11, right?
Yeah.
Unless you have two Triska Decaphobias, then if they're at 11, you can make them gain twice or something like that, you know?
Yeah, the cat oven is really good because you can play that at instant speed, basically. Right before your turn, and just
right
adjust
to try to like adjust the life total to the point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And you get Tree of Perdition and put him at 13 before, right?
You can't. Yeah, you have to, because the Fiend Artisan is sorcery speed, so you have to. This is kind of like, it's really janky, right? Because you have to get the tree at sorcery speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to wait a turn.
Yeah.
Then you have to activate the tree, take him to 13, right? Then wait another turn with Triska Decaphobia in play. And then if their life total does not change, then you win.
Huh. A lot of hoops to jump through.
But, like, imagine how satisfying it'll be if you won that way.
Yeah.
Because they had so many, like, junctions to, like... It reminds me of, I was playing an EDH game the other day, and it was the first time I ever won with Feldar Sarvern. Do you guys know what that card is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
36.
Yeah, and I ended my turn at 120 life, with Feldar Sovereign in play, right? And I pass a turn, and there's three other opponents, and I'm like, all right, do your worst. Like, and I'm just thinking, obviously, they're just going to swords this guy, right? So the feather player, like, digs and digs and digs, and then he's like, I got nothing. And I'm like, wow, really? And then the next player, the goblin player, like, just goes off and then plays this card that deals double damage and deals me, like, 60-something damage or 70. I don't know. It was, like, a lot of damage and got me down, like, to 60. Got me down to 60. And I'm like, oh, man, if the other guy can do 20. So that guy didn't remove the sovereign. The other guy, he draws nothing for the sovereign, attacks me down to 41. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, is this actually happening? And then they pass the turn, and it's like, yeah, like, I was like, I did it, dude. Accomplishment. And that's how I would feel if I won
with Triskaidekaphobia.
Yeah, 100%.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that's exactly how it's got to feel.
So that's my deck.
All right. My last turn then we'll wrap it up after this. So I've been talking about this deck forever. I think, I don't know, maybe when you were on during like the Theros set review, Jonathan, I think I kind of talked about making a spider deck.
And I think I remember that.
So basically, and I was like, yeah, we have enough spiders. We can make a spider deck now. And so basically I set out to make a spider deck. I started off using Arachnophobia, you know, that movie with Jeff Daniels. About, you know, he moves into this small town and all these spiders like attack the town and attack him. And
not eight-legged freaks.
Yeah, eight-legged freaks. Yeah, I guess I never saw that. That's like what, David Arquette or something like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I just got to pick the worst ones.
I think your movie taste.
You made this episode just so you could make this spider deck, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. So it's called Spiderlyrium. It's called Spiderlyrium because it's half spider deck and half delirium deck. But it's also a half Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and I'll explain why. So we have
one and a half.
So we have tons of spiders. We got Chainweb Arachnir, which is the new Theros one that has Escape. It also battles a flyer when it comes in play. It's the 1/2 for one. We have Nyx Weaver, which is a 2/3 enchantment spider for 3 mana from Journey into Nyx, and his ability is. Every upkeep, you put 2 cards into your library, and you can sacrifice it in 3 mana to get any card from the graveyard back to your hand. I also have Spoorweb Weaver, which is the 1/4 Hexproof from blue reach spider from M21. And whenever it's dealt damage, you gain a life and get a 1/1 Sapperling token. I got Arasta, the Endless Web, which is the 3/5 4 mana enchantment spider from Theros Beyond Death. And whenever an opponent casts an instant or sorcery, you get a 1/2 spider. And then I also
Can I ask you something before you go on? Like, why is this not a 4 of in the deck? This card is so good.
Arasta? Which one?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
Arasta.
A legendary enchantment creature, though.
Who cares?
Yeah, I guess that maybe I could add more.
It's so good, dude. It is so good. Like,
now, he can traverse for it, so... He's got Traverse and Grisly Salvage, so he's got a lot of ways to find it, even if he's only got the one.
True.
Right. That's true.
So, of course, the last spider I have in here is Ishkana the Graph Widow. Everyone knows this big boy, or big girl. I'm not sure who it is. 4/3/5, 5 mana, reach, delirium, you get 4 spider tokens when it comes into play, and then you can tap 7 mana and your opponent loses life for each spider that you control. So we got 3 of those, or sorry, not 3 of those. We got 2 of those, and then I had to figure out kind of a way to kind of add a little bit more delirium to this. So I thought, hey, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, they had a bunch of spiders attacking the kids, and they were in a car. So I added Fleet Wheel Cruiser as a one-off. It's a car that can attack by itself, just like the car in the movie. You know, it just flies around by itself, doesn't need anybody to drive it. And then I have Tree of Perdition, which is kind of the big tree, the Whomping Willow from the movie that, you know, caught the car and, you know, attacked the kids as well. And since I was on, you know, Delirium as it is, I thought, well, let's play Emrakul, because why not? Emrakul should be in every Delirium deck. Mm-hmm. And I have Fatal Push, Traverse Uvenwald, Grisly Salvage, Balaged Recovery, and then Pluck Up Predation. So I think I have enough to get Delirium relatively easily. It's not great. I have a lot of enchantments in here. I also have Assault Formation because we got a lot of big butt spiders, so why not? You can attack with your Tree of Perdition later on as well if you wanted to. And that's my deck.
So it sounds like Tree of Perdition is a staple in the Halloween format, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, it wasn't a demon and it wasn't a zombie, so I couldn't remember.
Oh, man.
So what do you guys think? Any suggestions?
I think that Assault Formation, there's too many of them.
Go down to two, maybe?
Yeah, I would probably go down to two, but I know you need enchantments, so I would look for another on-theme enchantment. Isn't there like a spider enchantment?
Nyx Weaver.
Spider summoning or something like that?
Yeah, I thought there was like a spider. I'm gonna look it up. Spider.
Is that Innistrad though, or is that?
It might be. Yeah.
The old set? The old block?
Oh, you know what? You have Nyx Weavers or enchantments as well.
Yeah. Nyx Weavers. I could add another Arresta, the Endless Web, probably.
Oh, you could run the Spider Silk Net. Artifact.
That's actually in Pioneer.
Yeah, it is. It's a zero cost artifact. I'm looking up right now. Artifact. Let me see. Web. No, that doesn't work. Spider. There's only one spider artifact.
I wish we had some of the other spiders from the Innistrad block. I think I wanted that flashback one that created a number of spiders equal to the number of creatures in your graveyard. That would have been really good.
Yeah, that one's
like, especially with Grizzly Salvage and stuff, you just put that stuff in the graveyard and like, okay, flashback, bunch of spiders,
get them.
Yeah, so Spy Delirium.
Alright, so where's the Harry Potter in this?
Well,
is it just the fact that there's a big spider in the woods?
No, it's a Fleetwood Cruiser and the Tree of Perdition. That's the car that saved Harry Potter. There's no boy, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
The boy who would live, or whatever his name is. I should have probably added one in. Maybe I'll drop the two Assault Formations and I'll put a boy in there instead. And then.
Yeah, what boy? What wizard boy? You have to have like a wizard boy?
Probably. I need a wizard.
He's like a Seder Wayfinder, right? Yeah. That's how I remember Harry Potter.
You could do that.
What? That's like cheating.
Yeah.
Putting good cards in.
Putting in good cards. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, a green or a black wizard. There we go.
Well, you could do Sylvan Carry added and still be pretty, that's the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah, true. I could do more of those
Pioneer
features.
Wizard and the colors green or black? Let's see.
I mean, the Seder would actually work as well then, because the Seder was also part of the Forbidden Forest. So,
there you go. Forbidden Forest theme.
There we go. So, I think that wraps up our deck list. Are we going to make a vote? We're going to see whose deck comes out on top? If you can't vote for your own?
What do you vote? Yeah, what
are we voting for?
How about we do
what
like...
What is the stipulation? Or, you know, what is the...
Well, we could do like the spookiest deck, or we could have the most... competitive deck? I don't know. Okay, let's just do a couple.
What deck would you be most afraid to lose to?
Your Jessica Dickophobia deck.
Yes! I've crafted that.
Like, I'd just be like, I'd be ashamed to lose to it. I wouldn't actually be scared.
I feel like the, I think the Tremors one had the strongest theme.
Yeah, that was funny. Like I said, needed to have those desert lands, but otherwise it's really good.
Yeah, the desert lands would have been so good, man. I kick myself for not even thinking about that.
Well, when you post it on your Patreon, you can update it.
Yeah, I'm gonna like update it, and maybe I'll play some games with it on Mono and see what happens.
Just wait till Halloween to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. I think as far as like the. How can I say? The strength of the list, I kind of like your decks, Kevin. I think they're built very well.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, that's me.
If they were like... So if we had six... We had these six decks, right? And they were like, look, you have to play these decks or you're going to get killed by, like, the killer from Saw or something like that. Uh-huh. Like, I would definitely pick one of those decks, one of Kevin's decks, not my decks. Definitely not. Yeah,
I like the Coco deck. The Coco deck is really nice.
Yeah, I'll try that out. I'll see if it's actually at all playable. You know, if I ever win by having four demons in play, that's got to be a big win.
Yeah, it is, because, like, it feels like the Coco deck feels like you could just free roll, right? You could just have the demons and win, right?
Oops, all demons.
Oh, man. Oh, I seen a... I recently saw a Pioneer Oops All Spells deck. Oh, man, it looks so freaking cool. It's basically like a dredge deck.
Oh, yeah. We've known about that forever.
man. Like, the list I saw looked really good. I'm actually excited to play it. I was like, wow, I'm pretty pumped about this.
All right. Well, you want to take us out then, Kevin?
All right, I'll do some wrapping up here. So we are normally only a Pioneer podcast. We talk all about Pioneer, the MTG format. If you guys liked what you heard, if you've got anything spooky going on, you like our list, you want to hear more, whatever else, you can reach out to us, and we would love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter at MTG Pioneer, the one original. That was me poorly handing it off to you.
Oh, Ryan. You are? Oh, sorry. So, my name's Ryan. You can find me at Twitter at Yoshwenky, which is Yoshwenky. And like we said, come to the Discord, share your spooky list with us. Maybe we'll, put together some kind of giveaway. We're still thinking about it, but, we'd like to hear from you. And if you liked any of these decks, let us know, and hopefully... you can see some more updated lists, some more refined lists on Jonathan's Patreon. So maybe I'll hand it off to Jonathan. You can kind of tell us more about your details.
All right. Hey, what's up? I'm Jonathan Medina. You can find me on Twitter, Medina, M-E-D-I-N-A underscore M-T-G. So Medina M-T-G on Twitter. And then, I'm going to put this up not on my Patreon, but on my Content Hub. Which you can get to my Patreon from there if you want to go there. But the Content Hub is the mtgbazaar.com. And bazaar is spelled B-A-Z-A-A-R. So that's where I put all my content. Some of it is Patreon blocked, but this will not be. So I'm going to put up these lists. And I might refine my Tremors list a little bit, get some deserts in there and stuff like that. And it's been a fun activity. Thanks for the invite, guys. And, inviting me to such a fun show. I mean, this was it was super cool.
We usually have Jank on the mind when we discuss anything with you, like with the set review. So I thought, yeah, it's a good idea. Let's get Jonathan on.
Right on. I'm happy to be your janky guest.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show. Thank you guys for listening. We hope to be your go-to source for Pioneer information online. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, and we're signing off.